Our scripture today is from the book of Luke, chapter 4, verse 14 to 21. As you can follow along through your Bible or the words on the screen, let us pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this, your word, which you give to each of us, truly as a light into our path that helps us to walk the way you desire. We pray to you, Lord, that your name is praised, and that our ears and hearts are open to receive this glorious gift. We also ask for your mercy on the sermon, that it too may be used for your glory alone. We pray this all in Christ's name. Amen. Luke 4, 14 to 21. Hear now God's word. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through the whole countryside. He was teaching in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. He began by saying to them, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Now, of course, the following part of this scripture is one that's quite familiar to us. As we look at the context, Jesus was beginning his ministry in Galilee. And as he went to the synagogues and the countryside, he preached, shared the message of hope and power. And of course, the message of the kingdom of God is at hand. And so powerful was his message, and so much was his authority, that all who heard it praised him, glorified his name, and rejoiced. Many of them at this point were excited at the possibility that this Jesus may indeed be the Messiah that all of them waited for. Now, of course, every time we mention the word Messiah, we have to rehash again, because repetition is good to remember what it is Messiah is. And the understanding of the Messiah in the Jewish, from the Jewish perspective during this day, was a political and powerful leader or king that would save them from whatever persecutions they were under, save them from whatever tyranny they experienced, would help them through their oppression through Rome at this specific time. And through that Messiah, they'd be free once again, and that they would have a kingdom, and the king on the throne would be in the line of David forever. And so, of course, they were quite excited at this prospect, especially being under Rome for so long. And so they rejoiced and they praised him. Now, when he went to Nazareth, they didn't think he could be the Messiah, because this is Jesus, same Jesus who worked in as a carpenter with his father Joseph, the same Jesus who ran away from his family at the age of, they're not sure how old he was at that point, young boy, 7, 4, 6, somewhere around there. Ran to the temple in Jerusalem, and this is Jesus that they saw grow up. How can he be Messiah? Sometimes familiarity isn't always a good thing, because we don't expect the people that we know the best to do well sometimes. In the case of his own hometown, that was true. However, Jesus did boldly at least come very, very, very close to outright declaring himself Messiah in Nazareth. And how he did this, he went to the synagogue, as he always does, as is his custom. They gave him a scroll of the prophet Isaiah. He unwound it and he read this: "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to the oppressed, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's Messiah." Now, this particular scripture has often been related to the understanding of Messiah. But what's neat about this scripture in being related to Messiah is it really does challenge an understanding of this powerful kingdom Messiah. Political kingdom Messiah. Now, it's true that in our day and age, and not just our day and age, in this day and age too, that one of the greatest symbols of power is money. Money can get you a lot of things, there's no doubt. And if you have enough money, you can do... You know, I had no idea. Do you remember... It was a tragedy, a tragic occurrence, that when the submersible went down to the Titanic and got crushed. It was a terrible thing. But one of those, what that event helped me to see, opened my eyes to, is that there's this whole world of entertainment that is catered to people who have all kinds of money that they have no idea what to do with. If you have enough money, you too, and now they're a lot safer, can get a submersible and go down and visit the Titanic. If you have enough money, you can get into a rocket ship and go to space. If you have enough money, you can rent your own boat and sail across the ocean. Sail around the world if you have enough money. There's a whole entertainment industry out there where the lowest ticket prices to enjoy whatever it is that they have is in the thousands. Just had a talk to a guy the other day who had the opportunity to go to the Daytona to watch NASCAR. Now, NASCAR, I mean, everyone knows NASCAR. A lot of people go to NASCAR, but this particular event was a 24-hour race. In 24-hour races in NASCAR, they have 3 to 4 drivers that drive for like six hours at a time. And you can go as a spectator for the entire 24-hour race. It'll only cost you $2,000 a ticket, right? And that's one of the cheaper things. I mean, the submersible is much more. The rocket's much more. The boat around the world is much, much more. And one of the most interesting statistics that I've heard about wealth is... all the billionaires in the world, I don't know how many there are. Less than 100? Not sure. Billionaires? Yeah. Anyway, if you take all their wealth, the upper 0.01% of the entire world, and you add up all their wealth equals the lower 3.2 billion people. Incredible, the amount of money that's out there. And all that money that they have represents wealth, or power, I mean. All the money that they have represents power. That is a lot of power put in hands of not a lot of people. But that's the way power goes, even in Jesus' time. Rome had a lot of power and exacted that power over millions. And the Messiah represents the greatest power of them all. One person chosen by God, which we know is Christ Jesus, who is God, who had the power to change the world. And as Messiah was looked at from the Jewish perspective, this person would have the power to even defeat Rome. Now, of course, we know from a spiritual point that Christ did in fact do that, not just defeat Rome, but defeat death. And through Christ, we have life everlasting, and the kingdom that we're promised at during the time of Revelation will be better than all. But you see through our scripture, through Isaiah, which describes what the Messiah will do with the power that Messiah has, so he's going to take care of the lower percent. All the power that he has, he's going to take care of those who don't have it. The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. That they are loved. That they are cared for. That Christ and God has not abandoned them. That Jesus will give them everlasting life now and forever. That what they have through not having can be seen as more powerful as those who have because they rely upon God. That he sent me, the Messiah, to proclaim freedom for the prisoners. Many of the prisoners are those who are in debt or have addiction of one sort or another. That they will be free. Recovery of sight for the blind. Those who can't see, Christ will use that power to help them see. To set the oppressed free and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. In the Old Testament, the year of the Lord's favor was called Jubilee. Jubilee was such a special year in the life of Israel. So as many of you know, that in Israel's culture, during Christ and much prior to it, that slavery was a thing, a common thing. And what slavery, those who were oftentimes put in slavery were those who had a debt to pay off. And so in order to pay off that debt, they would be placed in slavery, and that debt would be paid off during their time of service. But the neat thing about the year of Jubilee is that once every 7 years, once the year of Jubilee hit, everyone who had debt, that debt was eradicated. Everyone who was in prison due to debt or slavery due to debt were set free. Now, not everyone followed that because they liked their slaves. They enjoyed having them. They liked having that power over them. But the Bible gave freedom, Scripture during that day, gave them freedom once every 7 years. And through Jesus Christ and the Messiah, that this now is the year of the Lord's favor, as we see in verse 19 there. That through Jesus Christ, we too are set free from our debt of sin, from our debt of shame, from the ways that we have not been obedient to God. In the Messiah, who represents true power in this world, was more concerned with those who couldn't give that power back because they had none. This is the Messiah that the Jews have been waiting for, that we have been waiting for, that we have been given through Jesus Christ. And as followers of Christ, we too then have a similar responsibility. We all have power. Through Christ we have power. Through money we have power. Through the law we have power. However it is that power looks, whatever it is that power is. Through freedom, we have power. through Christ Jesus in our life. We pray that as individuals of the church and as the church, as part of the church, that we use that power for God's glory. Concerned with those who are around us that we can help, that we can love, that we can share the good news through word and deed. By being with those who are in need, by reaching out to those who need support and help, by encouraging, generally by being present. This is power. And I thank the Lord that Christ showed us how to use that power well. For Christ, in all his power, went to the cross and died for us, rose for us, and continually prays for us. And we praise Christ for that. I'm going to share today this final prayer, a preschool prayer. Dear Jesus, please show me how to spend this day sharing your love in every way. Help me to be kind to everyone, to play and laugh and have lots of fun, shining your light and giving your grace, sharing your joy with a smile on my face. In Christ's name, amen and amen. Go in peace.